Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3 o'clock Pacific Summer Time. Well, I apologize for the late recording, but I'm really just in the door having returned from vacation. Well, having had a quick click through of the markets, there's a couple of things that are really quite a standout. Well, this week, you saw that a number of the European markets had, well, something of a what's increasingly looking like a dead cat bounce, but that in the latter hour of trading today, they pulled back very sharply. Well, part of the reason for that is because the Ukraine is claiming that they've destroyed an armed column from Russia, or that had entered the country. Well, we're still waiting on confirmation of the extent to which they succeeded in their objective, but, well, this doesn't do anything to improve confidence among investors that this is a situation that's going to be ameliorated anytime soon. Well, today was the first time that the silver price has been fixed outside of the London fixing arrangement for the first time in 117 years, and the price was down pretty sharply. Well, it's been deteriorating now for about the last 3 weeks, and we're down to $19.50. Well, the area from which it began to rally in May or June was around the $19 mark, maybe a little bit lower than that. Well, I guess that people are looking at it and thinking that, well, are we going to get back to that level, and will it be another good buying opportunity? But certainly we would need an upper dynamic to stem the decline at the present juncture. Well, gold, having been as low today as $1,292, was finished out today just north of $1,300. Well, if the geopolitical situation in Eastern Europe continues to deteriorate, well, you have to think that the case for owning gold, or at least there being some support in the region of $1,300, is pretty well made, and that, well, at least the most likely scenario is for some additional higher to lateral ranging. Well, if that's the case, then gold shares represent a pretty cheap, will continue to represent a pretty cheap sector. Well, Brent crude today was a little bit firmer, up about $1.70, and that's continuing to firm following what was a pretty steep decline over the last 6 weeks. Well, to the extent that European indices like the CAC and the DAX pulled back really quite sharply in the last hour of trading, well, then one also has to look at those markets that are exhibiting relative strength in this environment. Well, Brazil in particular is worthy of mention. Well, the leading candidate against President Rousseff was killed in an airplane crash this week, but the prospective new candidate that could run against her is also a woman, and will people are viewing that as a particularly potent eventuality. The Petrobras today was stronger by about 7%. Well, when one looks at the global oil sector, then Exxon has been rallying for a number of years. It's been pulling back a bit over the last while, but, well, you compare that to Petrobras, which has been doing nothing but trend lower for the last 5 years and rallied to break its progression of lower rally highs last month. Well, an additional 7% to the upside really does suggest that something has changed. Well, one of the reasons behind the underperformance in the Brazilian market has been the fact that you have major companies like Petrobras and Vale issuing a large amount, a number of shares, and fund in order to fund expansion. And you had the bankruptcy of OGX, which, well, had represented a pretty significant weighting and now is totally gone from the index. Well, the Brazilian banking sector has been performing or outperforming the wider market, and the fact that you have the consumer economy a little bit weaker suggests that, well, the presidency of Dilma Rousseff may not be we may be coming towards the end of that. Well, if you have sanctions being leveled at Russia and geopolitical tensions in Eastern Europe, well, Brazil produces a number of the same commodities that Russia does. So it's likely to be one of the main beneficiaries. But in addition to that, you have the recovery of the Chinese stock market. Well, China's stock market was stronger again in here today. We've had, it's been pretty firm for much of the last month. Well, the reform agenda remains very much in place. The anti-corruption drive is still going on. Now, of course, there are questions about the ultimate aim of this corruption drive, but, well, it's certainly continuing. And, well, when one looks at markets that haven't really rallied, there aren't that many, and China's market has been going down for the last 3 years. So, well, would you really rather be paying reasonably high valuations for Wall Street or accept the geopolitical risk represented by Europe, or potentially look at Asia, and not least in Asia's cheaper markets? Well, if the Chinese market has any chance of attracting foreign investment, well, this is looking like a pretty favorable environment. Well, the Indian market, having really surged following the election of Mr. Modi back in May, hasn't done much of anything over the last 2 months, but it does continue to hold this progression of higher reaction lows and continues to firm. Well, you'd have to think that you have China outperforming, you have Brazil outperforming, and India, but also, well, a number of the original tiger economies like Hong Kong or Korea or Singapore, also starting to do well in here. Well, it's looking like that Asia could be a potential bolt hole in the considering that both the USA and Europe are embroiled in what could turn into an even messier situation in Eastern Europe. Well, what's going on in Iraq isn't particularly positive either. So, we've gone through a period of relative quiet in terms of geopolitics, and that has most certainly ended in the last couple of years. Well, if you think about it, the period from about 2000 to 2008 was pretty quiescent on the geopolitical front. Well, that's just no longer the case. The fact that the commodity price inflation that had helped to improve the coffers of just about all commodity producers, but that had also allowed them to spend an awful lot more money and to secure the positions of some pretty despotic regimes, well, that's pretty much it. That's over, isn't it? Well, then there is a cause and effect that if you have oil prices which are no longer rising, we don't have a great deal of evidence yet that they're trending lower, but they're not rising, then that would suggest that the commodity price inflation that some of these countries had depended on can't be depended on any longer. Well, those that have grasped the nettle of improving governance, you'd have to say that India has voted with its feet and is grasping the opportunity to have improving governance. Well, somebody might say, well, that's coming off a very low base, and well, that would certainly be true. But it's the trajectory of governance that's really important. You can't compare the standards of governance in a well-established liberal democracy such as you see in much of Europe or in North America, and compare that to somewhere like India or Indonesia. But what you can see is that you have to ask yourself, well, is it getting better or is it getting worse? Well, you have to say in India, it's getting better. In Indonesia, it's getting better. And, well, it's looking increasingly likely that in Brazil, it is getting better. Well, it does look like that Brazil in particular, things are starting to fall into place. Well, I've just come back from a week in Mexico. And, well, it's looking increasingly likely that things are also falling into place there. Well, the stock market got right up to test its peak this week. You're probably going to see some consolidation. But the currency has been among the firmer currencies of all the commodity producers. And, well, you have a new administration in there that are encouraging foreign investment, and not least in the energy sector. And, well, that's a really big deal. So, when you think about, what are the risks? Well, there are certainly risks that well, the European economy is continuing to underperform. And, well, there isn't a great deal of light at the end of that tunnel, is there? That, well, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite for the kind of economic reforms and, well, federalism that would help to bolster the domestic demand story. Well, the Eurozone economy, or the European economy, is in the region of, well, 300 million people, perhaps more than that. And, well, trying to reignite domestic demand would certainly help the economic environment a lot, but there's no great sign that it's about to occur. Well, that means the ECB isn't about to raise interest rates anytime soon. Well, Eurobonds were a little bit firmer again in here today. They're at 150. Well, that's 50% better than par. So, well, you'd have to be pricing in a pretty dire situation if you're buying bonds at these levels. And, well, yields are at, well, yields, I guess, at, could be compared to where they are in Japan. Well, there's been an awful lot of debate about whether the USA would go the same way as Japan. There doesn't seem to be a great deal of evidence to support that. But, well, one would have to say that with German yields today at 0.95%, that people are pricing in the potential that you are going to have a deflationary environment. And, well, you look at something like the DAX, and I guess it's worth thinking about that the DAX is a total return index, and that it's encountering resistance today in the region of the 200-day moving average. Well, when you see that type of action, it's pretty clear that that is not a bullish pattern. That there's been a the DAX index had a pretty sharp decline in 2011, but from about late 2011 onwards, it's held a progression of higher reaction lows and found support in the region of the 200-day moving average on successive occasions. Well, it stopped doing that now. It's had a larger reaction. It's pressuring the progression of higher reaction lows, and this week it encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, which has now turned downwards. Well, that's not encouraging. That the minimum requirement to, well, bolster the resolve of the bull would be that it is going to have to sustain a move back above the 200-day moving average. And, well, that MA is currently at 9,370, and the index is trading at 9,092. Well, we might see some additional ranging above the 9,000 level, but that, well, at the way that the index is currently trading, that, well, people are looking at the bond market, they're looking at bonds, and they're probably thinking that, well, equities isn't particularly where they need to be, at least not in Europe at the present time. Well, that means that we're going to be provided with another very favorable buying opportunity in Europe, but that's probably not today. Well, we're not used to talking about geopolitics, but it's just something that we can't avoid any longer. That we have to consider that when one thinks about the various risks that one takes on when you take on an investment, that, well, obviously you have price risk, you have interest rate risk, currency risk, well, you have default risk, credit risk, but now you also have geopolitical risk. The fact that Adidas was pummeled in the last month because its Russian operations haven't been working out for it, and it's basically had to write them off, is really an indication of just what can happen to a company when it has made the wrong bet on the wrong geopolitical environment. Well, unfortunately, there isn't a whole pile to be enthusiastic about, that this situation is not over, and that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Well, when we think about this in terms of the big picture, well, then the fact that the Asian market is moving to a position of outperformance is pretty impressive. That the fact that this geopolitical tension is rising would suggest that the Federal Reserve is going to have an additional reason not to raise interest rates. But are we going to see stock markets push on to significant new additional peaks? Well, that remains very much open to question. What is interesting is that the DAX got up to 10,000 and failed there, that the S&P got up to 2,000 and wasn't able to sustain a move above it, at least not yet, but it did do is find support at least short term support last week. But that, generally speaking, that you would be betting that quantitative easing will have a little bit longer to run because geopolitical tensions have increased, if one were to be buying the S&P 500 at this level. And that would be very much along the lines of the bigger fool, that you're quite willing to accept the fact that valuations are pretty expensive, but that they may get a bit more expensive because monetary policy is going to remain that bit easier for that bit longer. Well, you might be right in thinking that, but that the risk-reward is getting to be a little bit more pricey, and that when you think about it, that, well, a lot of the conversations I've had this year have been that people are no longer running stops, that people are running ETF strategies, that they just want to track the index. That, well, people back in late 2008 and early 2009 were extremely diligent about having stops, but that they were unwilling to run stops this year because they were running stops last year and got stopped out and then got left behind as the market went on and posted a record performance. Well, it's a clear signal of something that we talk about at the chart seminar, that people become less diligent about stops in the latter stages of a bull market for the simple reason that they don't want to be stopped out. Well, if one is really looking at their fiduciary responsibility or looking at the risk reward that's in the market, that this really is the time to become more diligent about stops, to look on this market and with quite clear eyes, and that we are in a more risky environment for some of the major indices. That the fact that you have markets that had previously lagged, and lagged by really a considerable margin, moving to positions of outperformance now. Well, you'll often see that commodity producers, basic resources type, and low PE and high yield type investments will do very well in the latter stages of a bull market. Well, with Petrobras up over 7% in here today, that would certainly suggest that at least that one is doing exactly that. So what we are getting here is, well, I apologize if you're hearing the ice cream truck going by outside my window, but what we have here is that this market is looking increasingly mature, that in terms of the medium-term uptrend. Well, when one looks at the longer term, then the case is well made that oil prices are likely to trend lower in real terms, in inflation-adjusted terms, well, probably from around now, that the technological innovation that is still driving productivity growth is really only in its infancy, and that we could have some pretty significant application of technological innovation hitting the industrial sector. It's already doing it, and that's likely to continue. And that, well, with people really voting for the for improving governance, and this is particularly the case in India, Indonesia, and potentially Brazil from later this year, that hundreds of millions of people will get the opportunity to really reach their productivity potential. And, well, considering that you have in India a remarkably young population, that just the importance of that just can't be exaggerated. So that, well, there's a lot of reason to be really very bullish over the medium to long term, but that, from when we look at the short to medium term, that there is this risk that when you've had a substantial breakout from a very long trading range, just like we've had on Wall Street, that you might get some, well, consolidation, that you could go into a more difficult environment for, for potentially a couple of years, where the explosive breakout is consolidated, but that will also represent a wonderful opportunity from the perspective of a buy and hold investor. Well, when one looks at the commodity sector, then I've mentioned about oil and gold. It continues to hold here at $1,300. That the range that's been in evidence for more than 18 months has been between $1,200 and $1,400, so we're pretty much mid-range, and that the bounce from the lower side continues, so that the most likely scenario is that we're going to see some additional higher to lateral ranging. Well, if that's the case, then gold shares are cheap. But that what we're also seeing is that the continuous commodity index has been trending lower. And part of the reason for that is because of the extreme weakness that's been evident in the commodity sector, sorry, in the agricultural sector. Well, the index is now back to 512, and over the last 2.5 years, 500 has been an area of support. Well, the industrial metals have been relative strength performers within the index, and their outperformance really stands apart from what remains a pretty weak environment generally in the agricultural sector. Well, when we look at the agriculturals, that they're coming back to positions where relatively significant rallies have taken place previously, and that CCI index coming back towards 500 would suggest that the potential for some tightness to creep into the commodity complex isn't beyond the bounds of possibility. Well, we wouldn't have to go a million miles away to really figure out why there might be some tightness in the commodity cycle. Well, particularly if you get an increased risk of conflagration in Eastern Europe and potentially sanctions against Russian grain supplies, or the fact that Russia withholds its grain supplies. So, well, we're definitely living in interesting times. And I think with that, I will leave you for the weekend and wish all the best to all of you.